social psychology. Like so many of the topics we hit in the last part of the course here, this is a course itself, and you can take actually a couple of them. If you're a psych major, you have social psych and you have advanced social psych. And this is like beginner social psych, right? So we have a chapter. And of course, the problem in that is, so what are you talking about? So many topics. And so what I try to do is kind of pick a theme and kind of select some topics that kind of go along with this theme. And so my theme is really about influence. How we're influenced by others and how we influence others. Clearly, an important topic or theme in social psych. And the one that gives us several different things to talk about. So that is the one thing I'm going to talk about most exclusively here in making selections for what to say about social psych. I'm going to begin by talking about something called social facilitation, which is an interesting phenomenon. What social facilitation says is being in the presence of others can influence our behavior. You might say the success of our behavior. And interestingly enough, I mean, we're not talking about them talking, you know, talking with us or anything, just being in the presence of others. Sometimes, and this is the interesting component of this, sometimes having others watch us do something actually improves our behavior, makes it more effective. That's right. That's kind of what's implied by social facilitation. We get better simply because we're functioning in front of others. Sometimes, however, just because we're functioning in front of others, our behavior gets worse. So the interesting question becomes, why? What about being in front of others could improve behavior? What could explain just the opposite? Why sometimes does it get worse? The standard explanation for this relies upon something we haven't talked about, general arousal theory. And it's attributed usually to Zion. So what it says is the impact of increasing arousal is not linear. Right? And in fact, there's kind of a middle ground at which behavior tends to be most productive. So too little arousal, you don't necessarily get ideal behavior. Too much arousal, you also don't get very good behavior. And I don't know if you know, maybe you can think of a situation and think of a way to explain this, right? You can pick almost anything, and that's the idea. So many things fit this non-linear kind of function, you might say. So maybe studying is an example. Just lethargic and can't get excited, and of course not much happens, right? That's down here. On the other hand, if you're extremely anxious and frantic, nothing much gets accomplished either. That's up here. There's kind of this sweet spot in the middle where we tend to be most effective. All right, I mean, that kind of makes sense. That isn't necessarily an answer yet to our question here about why sometimes public performances are helped and why sometimes they are hindered. This curve, by the way, explains some other kind of interesting phenomena. I mean, the connections, of course, you may not be aware of, but for example, it explains some kind of counterintuitive phenomena. One might be this. Why in the world would you give a child who's hyperactive a stimulant? you know, Ritalin. So you got a kid who's hyperactive, right? Needs to be calmed down to function more effectively. You know, why would you give a kid who needs to be calmed down a stimulant? That's what Ritalin is. Well, it's the answer is in this curve. If most kids are functioning here, maybe you know this because Ritalin has become illegally used a drug as a stimulant. It is a stimulant. So if someone who doesn't have the problem of hyperactivity takes Ritalin, they're down here, and of course, it's an arousing experience for them. It makes them more active, you might say. But the deal with the hyperactive kid, of course, is they're up here. And so in this case, by giving them a stimulant, you actually create this kind of effect on the backside. It actually decreases their level of malfunctioning in some ways. Does that make sense? So it's not some things that are counterintuitive are basically a function of us assuming that the way things work is linear. That isn't always the case.